that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, every one of us, we find ourselves in the building business. I mean, that we are committed to building something at some point in time in our lives. Some people are committed to building a life career. Some have chosen to build their marriages. Some people have chosen, you know, to build a business. I remember growing up, somebody would say that, I want to build a career before, you know, I settle down. You know, why some people will say that, let me build my marriage. You know, the choice of whatever we want to build is ours to make. And then we make decisions every now and then. We commit to all sort of things that we want to build. We want to build some skill set because we found out that at some point in time in our journey, we will need those skill sets. And so we pay attention to them. We build, you know, something that we know that we last us. We build our finances, for instance. You commit to saving every now and then. You put a penny, you know, ₦1.05. Now you put money, you know, just to build some financial support. We've been taught, we've had teachings, trainings, you know, opportunities to listen to people teach us on how we can build. And this morning, I know that deep inside our heart, we probably feel that we have not done enough. We probably feel that we have not committed so much, you know, into what is important for our lives. You know, we look around and we see people have gone ahead of us. So maybe I've not done so much in this area. Maybe I've, you know, been lazy on this aspect of my life. But this choice is right before us. We have this opportunity every now and then to decide whether we want to build or we want to sit down. We have this decision to make whether you want to pursue or you want to stay back. We have this decision to make every now and then whether you want to commit effort to building something that will last and will stand the test of time. The choice is ours. You know, how we want to build is another fact, is another thing. How we want to build is as important as what we have chosen to build. And can I say to us that it also takes time to build? It takes time to build. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, we've had that said every now and then. That Rome was not built in a day. But somebody said, I think the man who wrote Atomic Habit, James Clear, said, Rome was not built in a day, but they were laying bricks every day. They keep putting bricks upon brick. They put laying, you know, one block after another one until Rome was built. So it takes time to build. It takes effort. It takes commitment. It takes, you know, a lifelong effort sometimes to build. For instance, marriage is not something that you will start now and you said, I've done enough. You know, let it take care of itself. Sometimes some of these aspects of our lives, we need to commit the rest of our life to it. We need to keep doing it every day. And such is the life that we've come to have, you know, in the kingdom of God. It's such a life that we cannot afford to be flippant about it or to be careless about it. It's a life that we need to continue to build on a daily basis. You know, Jesus Christ began to teach in the book of Matthew chapter 5 that I read to us, verse 1 and verse 2, talking about the beautiful attitude. He came to introduce to us a kingdom that we stand and last eternity. It's not just a kingdom that is going to end in this world. And he began to introduce to us the attitude of that kingdom. Some theologians call it the beatitude, the beautiful attitude. About 9 of them saying, blessed are the poor in the spirit. Blessed are the people who thirst and hunger after God. You know, about 9 of them. And he had a long teaching from the book of Matthew chapter 5, all through chapter 6 and then chapter 7. And when you read from verse 24 of chapter 7, Bible says, and Jesus said, therefore. You know, Pastor has taught us that when you see therefore, it means there has been a conversation before then. And so that teaching was what extended to this point. Say, therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine, I'm going to liken him unto a man, a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. I told us that the decision of what we want to build is for us to make. That choice is ours. That decision, nobody is going to make it for us. It is you that will decide and make up your mind that you want to build. It is you who will come and say that I'm ready to build. It is you that will say that this is how much I want to commit my attention to building. This is how long I want to commit my effort. How much effort I want to commit to building. So Jesus Christ begins to speak in this light. So I've written here, at each passing of time of the day, committing to building certain things could require a lifelong effort. The kingdom of God that we have received into our heart, when Jesus Christ came, it's not for some time, it's for eternity. And so our life every day must reflect it. We must pay attention to what is important. We must pay attention to what is needful. We must continue to build. We must build as a wise man. And what is Jesus Christ saying in this place? He's saying that when you decide to build, then you are likened to a wise man who is ready to hearken to the voice of the Lord. So in verse 24, he began to say that when you choose to build, when you are making a choice to build, then it means that you want to hearken to the voice of the Lord. There are about 4 points that I'm just going to share with us very quickly because of time. God's instruction, number one, is for every man and woman to treasure and to respect. The instruction of God is for us to respect and to treasure. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God placed him in the garden to tend it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 17, and the next thing that God was going to give to man was instruction on how to build that garden. It was also an instruction on how to build his life after that instruction. And you know, whether he was going to live or die was dependent on that instruction. Instructions are necessity for life. If you pay attention to instructions, then you are ready to live. When you despise instruction, then you are toying with life. You know, the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 7, says, he is in the way of life that keeps instructions. Jesus Christ set an agenda. It was a kingdom agenda. And he began to teach along that line. He began to instruct. He began to, you know, lay the foundation for kingdom lifestyle. And he beholds that his listeners will heed such instruction. It behoves that his listeners will begin to pay attention to such instruction. God's word contains, you know, a compilation of instructions. From the book of Genesis to Revelation, you find the word of God readily available for us to guide our lives, you know, to instruct us on decisions that we're going to make. Every aspect of our life, whether you are building a career, whether you are building a marriage, things that pertain to our life and for our godly living on this earth, God's instructions are available for us to listen to. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Bible says, media, please, can you please help us? Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night? Scripture says that he will be like a tree that is planted by the riverside. It means that life is available for such a man who pays attention to the instruction of the law. We have the opportunity, you know, to listen to God's word in this church. The Bible study affords us such privilege. The messages that have come from this pulpit has given us opportunities and chances, you know, to lay hold on what is important in the word of God for our life, because our life depends on it. Somebody say, my life depends on it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus Christ spoke and he began to teach. He began to teach on building a kingdom attitude. We must treasure God's instruction. We must respect God's instruction. We must esteem his word. His word must become the joy and the salvation of our life. We must find safety in God's word. We must find counsel in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord must be readily available to guide us. The word of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord must be available for us, you know, to enjoy when we are going through difficult time. We must depend on the word of the Lord than the available solutions that we can think or imagine. As a matter of fact, it's the word of the Lord that should guide us even into things that we're going to do to come out of any difficulty or situation. The word of the Lord is always there to instruct. Bible says that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet. He is a light unto my path. He gives light in darkness. He reveals difficult situations. He reveals solutions to our heart. When we find ourselves in a mess, the word of the Lord is there to comfort, you know, to rescue. God's word carries such ability to deliver us even in trouble. And if you're going to build a kingdom attitude, God's word must be at your beckon. It must be your go-to at every point in time. The word of the Lord must be what you are willing to run to. You know, just like David says in the scripture, he says that I find your presence as an habitation that I may continually return. God's word is just like an habitation that we can decide that I want to go back to it. We want to reflect on the things that we've had. We want to reflect on the things that we've been taught so that we can find solution in the face of difficult situation. To whom shall we go? The people told Jesus Christ. To whom shall we go? You know, he's been teaching them about the kingdom in the book of John chapter 6 from verse 59 to 68. Bible says that Jesus Christ was teaching and he came to a point in time. Some of his disciples, many disciples, they told him, they said that these things are too hard, and they were willing to leave. They were willing to go. But Jesus Christ, he said to his disciples, the 12 disciples, his own people, said, are you also going? But Peter said, to whom shall we go? Only you has the word of life. The word that he speaks to us, he gives life, he gives spirit. His spirit and his life. And that is what will transcend time. It is that word that will stand the test of time. When chaos comes, when difficult situations stare us in our faces, it is the word of the Lord that we can stand upon. It's a foundation that when wind blows, when storm comes, we can rely upon and we'll still be standing. Number two, it is wise to also heed the instruction of the Lord. In that same Matthew chapter 7, we'll find out that it is wisdom to heed the instructions of the Lord. It is wisdom to heed the instruction of the Lord. The foolish will ignore the instructions of the Lord. The foolish will scorn, will scoff at the instructions of the Lord. They will take the word of the Lord for granted. The foolish will make light of what is important in God's word. But the wise will heed the instructions of the Lord. And so there's wisdom. The wisdom in building is that you want to build with wisdom. You want to build according to wisdom. You know, architect will tell us that it takes a building to last and to stand strong when you follow specifications. When you follow basic specifications, there are blueprints that have been designed. When they wanted to build this place, I'm sure there's a drawing, there are instructions that guided the building of this house. Every skyscraper that we see, there are instructions. And when storm comes, when wind blows, you know, you find out that such building is still standing. Why? Because it follows specific instructions. There are specifications. And so it is important that when we want to build also our life, these areas of our life that are important for us to enjoy the life of the kingdom, we must build according to specifications. And God's word is a specification for us to follow. Wisdom demands that we play also according to the rule. God's word is like a rule. It's not like do this, don't do that. It's a rule that guides our affairs. It's a rule that instructs us on what to do, decisions that we need to make. It's a rule for us to follow. And when we cultivate an habit of paying attention to the rules and to the guidelines specified and outlined in God's word, we'll find rest. Turbulent times will come. We'll be standing. Tough times will come. It will pass. Situations will come and we arise. We'll still be smiling even in difficult times. Why? Because we've guided our lives by the rule of God's word. Carelessness is not an option for us when it comes to approaching God's word. Carelessness is not an option for us when it comes to heeding God's word. Carefree attitude is not an option for a kingdom person. It demands that we pay ultimate attention. And so when we find out at some point in time in our life, we are laying back, we are drawing back, or we are losing strength, we should go back to God's word. We should not trivialize, we should not say that it happens. It's one of those things, you know, we get over it. Yes, you will get over it when you go back to the needful. You will get over it when you go back to the needful. And so you don't want to, you know, be carefree. The stakes are always high. The standard is always high for a high lifestyle. High lifestyle in the kingdom of God, you know, the stakes are high. They are not for the superficial people. People who are too trivial. People who are not, you know, taking time to dig deep in God's. When we come to the presence of God, what we come basically to do is to expose ourselves to God's word. Nobody has, you know, authority. Nobody has custody of God so that, no, this word of God, I have it. We come to expose ourselves. We come to learn because we know that our lives depend on it. The people who sat under Jesus' teaching in those days, they hearkened to his voice. And Jesus Christ says that it will be wise of you if you hearken to my voice. Number three. We found out that from this Bible verse, there is obvious challenge in the face of life. Phases of life. Challenges come and storm will come. Situations will come. These are instances that are non-negotiable in our life. That we will ever go through problem. Nobody has to tell us that. It is obvious that we are in this world. We will face difficult times. And every building that we see has been exposed at one point in time to storms, to rain. Flood has come. And so it is the reality of life that wind will blow. Challenges of life will come. Tough time will come. Issues we arrive that will shake us. You know, that was why I went through the lyrics of that song, and I found out that song contained powerful words. That Jesus Christ is an anchor, is a foundation that when turbulent times come, we can rest, we can depend on him. And so there is no negotiating the fact that tough time will come, trouble will arise in our lives, challenges will come. And we see from that scripture also that there are levels of challenges. Rain is a dimension of trouble, of challenge. Storm, flood is also another challenge of trouble. Sometimes it might be finances. It might be marriage. It might be issues around our career. It might be our personality. Have you found out that some people, they have issues with their personality? Some people are so inferior in themselves. They feel that they are at a disadvantage. And so struggle has been the order of the day in leading a life that is fruitful. And then they hold back when they are supposed to show up. Times that they need to raise their shoulder. They are shy and they are afraid. times that we need to take decisions that will affect our destinies. We hold back because we have issues with personality. We have personality problems. And so challenges are in dimensions. Sometimes it could be financial. You feel that you are not always having enough. You are not always measuring up when it comes to finances. And so that's also a challenge. Some people feel that, you know, because they don't have money, they cannot attain to certain heights. They can't do certain things in life. Sometimes we have some of these feelings and battles to contend with in our life, in our mind. And they hold us back. These are dimensions of issues and challenges. These will come. Why some will be standing when they face this situation? Some will not be able to stand. Why? It's because they are failed to realize that it takes wisdom to pay attention to the teachings, to the things that will enable them to stand. It takes wisdom, you know, to approach God in the light of what will encourage them and enable them to hold forth. And so in tough times, in situation, we must have a mindset that God has settled everything that we need to enjoy in his word, in life. Bible says that he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, according to the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and unto virtue. He has settled everything for us. All we need to do is to find out. All we need to do is to ask questions. Ask appropriate questions, and then we'll find answers to them. I pray that no matter what has become a question in our lives and in our situation, answer will come forth in Jesus' name. Number four, our life must be anchored on a sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. I'd like us to quickly read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 3. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Wherefore, there is neither Greek nor Jew. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Okay, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. There is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. We must anchor our life on the sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the quality of life, the quality of any building that we'll find out or we come across is dependent on the strength of the foundation. We can quickly find out from mere looking at the foundation the kind of building that will come up on that foundation. When we understand the foundation that is in Christ Jesus, we know that we can build a life that can stand. We find out that Jesus is the foundation from God's word, from his living experiences on earth. He lived a life that was rock solid, a life that was not given to just anything. He was dependent on God as well. And Jesus Christ has given us a perfect example of how we can guide our affairs, how we can depend on him. And it is in building our works, our life on this reality that we can be rest assured that when tough time comes, when situation shows up in our lives, we'll still be standing. We'll still be building. We'll still continue to thrive. You know, oftentimes we want to take a surviving mode, a survivor mode. We want to say, let me just manage this issue. Maybe someday it's just going to end. No, it's not just going to end. You can't wish certain things away. We have to take position. And that position is what we are doing in Jesus. That position is what we are coming to do when we come before him. We surrender our lives to him. We surrender our heart to him. We'll live in the reality of what he has provided for us. What are the things that Christ has provided for us? He has given us his word. He has given us his blood. His blood takes away our sins. His blood, you know, affords us victory in difficult times. His word helps us, you know, to go over difficult things. His blood is there for us to deliver. He has given us his word. He has given us his word. He has given us his promise to depend upon. And so Jesus Christ has given us his promise. And two things we must do when we approach Jesus. We must trust his promise. We must believe his promise. We must believe and trust his provision. The provision of God, they are so huge. They are so enormous that we cannot, you know, just ignore. When we apply appropriately the provision that is in his wisdom, we'll find rest. We'll find joy. We'll find hope. And we'll find help. And when help comes, and then we are at peace. We are at peace with ourselves and we are at peace with God. Praise God. Everyone is lost until they have found Jesus Christ. Everyone is lost until Christ is found. Until you have situated your life in Jesus Christ. Life becomes shaky. Life becomes, you know, difficult. Life becomes like something hard. You know, life is hard, they tell us. But when we find life in Jesus Christ, we find out that we can go through tough times. We can go through, you know, situations that seem, you know, difficult because we have anchored our life in Jesus. There is no name under heaven that has been given whereby man can be saved. We come to end salvation in Jesus Christ. And how we are going to sustain that salvation, that life that we have found in Jesus Christ, we also be by, you know, appropriating our lives on a daily basis, building our lives on what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus is the foundation for living in the kingdom. We find out in that scripture, you know, the wise man responds to God's word. The wise man built his life. And when wind and rain came, they could not bring the house down because they are founded on a solid foundation. Jesus is the rock that we can find our life, we can build our destinies upon. After the sovereign in this world, there is no any other consolation. There is no any other hope. Jesus Christ still remains the hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory, scripture says. And so when life is ended here, there is still hope of eternity because Jesus Christ affords us that opportunity to end a life after now. And so when you are building with this mindset that it doesn't just end here. God didn't create man. The man will just fizzle out. We just, you know, disappear. Man is a spirit. Man is a soul living in a body. And so when everything is done, when everything ends here, man will still continue to live. And on the basis of what you have lived your life here on earth, that's what will determine whether you still find life to enjoy after death. And so it's important this morning that we come to this realization and understanding that life in Christ guarantees eternal life. Life in Christ ensures that we make our life to count here in time. And in the events that we come along the way, we can still be rest assured that there is life after now. There is still peace at the end. There is still light after darkness. There is hope after frustration. After weariness of soul, there is still strength that can come. Strength can still come when everything loses significance. Christ will still remain relevant. You know, God didn't create a world or an entity in a world where he is not going to be relevant. And that's why he has given us stuff that are not just for this earth. He has given us stuff that will help us here on earth and will sustain and survive and help us to survive even in tough time. And so when everything is said and done, Christ will still be relevant. Christ is the only relevance that you and I need in this troubled world. Before I conclude this morning, I want us to do four things. So what are the four things that we can do to build? What are the four things? If you're going to build and will last, Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 24. If you're there, please shout hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 6. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Verse 4, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. So for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy wall, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. As I conclude this morning, number one, God's wisdom must be embraced. We must embrace the wisdom that is in God. We must embrace the wisdom that is in God. You know, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is a leveler. It affords everyone an opportunity to gain wisdom for living. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us an option out of many, you know, that people might have, you know, attempted. It gives us one solution to many problems. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ affords us that privilege to live life to the fullest. It does not matter how our standards are or how our statuses are. It only matters that we have found Jesus in his gospel. Bible says in James chapter 3 verse 17, said that the wisdom that is from above is first pure. There is no complexity with God's wisdom. There is no irritation with the wisdom of God. God's wisdom is pure and is solid. You know, sometimes when we attempt to address situation in our life, we might even be confused. We are in doubt that if I try this, will this work? And there is no doubting as to the provision that God has afforded us. The provision of his person in Jesus Christ gives us that opportunity to access wisdom, first pure wisdom. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Jesus Christ himself is the wisdom and is the power of God. And so when we embrace the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ by accepting into our life, that's what we have. We must reckon with it. We must reckon our lives that we have Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. Number two, we must increase in this knowledge. We must increase in the knowledge of God's will. We cannot afford to run our life on our own terms and conditions. We can't live life again on our own terms and conditions. We must find God's will as a term and condition for us to fulfill. When we approach some organization, they'll give us up terms and conditions. We don't argue those terms and conditions. We don't begin to ask questions that, why did you include this? Why must I do this? Why must I go this route? We only follow strictly those terms and conditions. We only abide strictly by those terms and conditions because we know that we are up to something. There's something that we are looking for. And so we don't question those terms and conditions. You know, we don't argue with them. And so God's will is a term and condition for us to apply. We must apply. We must increase in the knowledge of God's will. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Scripture says that we should grow. We should grow. We should build. We should increase in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should also increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was praying in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. He says that we cease not to pray for you every now and then, that you increase in the knowledge of his will. That you increase in the knowledge of his will. And he laid down things that we follow. When we increase in the knowledge of his will, we'll live a pleasant life. We'll be strengthened with might. We'll be encouraged in difficult times. When you have the opportunity, please read Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. What must you do this morning? What must you do? Having been exposed to the kingdom of God, the attitude of the kingdom, what must you do? In wisdom, you must develop spiritual strength and capacity. You must develop spiritual strength and capacity. Somebody say, I must develop strength. I must develop capacity. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, media, please, you can display that for us. Having taken up the will of God, the knowledge of his will, having increased in the knowledge of his will, is expected to help you to grow capacity. It is expected to help you to increase in the strength of the Lord. You must develop spiritual strength and capacity. When we come to Bible study, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are increasing capacity. When we heed God's instruction, we are increasing capacity. This is how we can build. We can't live life without all of this. We cannot survive. Sometimes I wonder how people are coping when we make light of the things of the kingdom. When we trivialize the things of the kingdom, how are people coping? We can't survive. I wrote here that it's a lonely walk when we ignore the things of God. When we ignore the things that should encourage us and strengthen us. When we make light of these things, it's a lonely walk. Sometimes it's a walk of no return. It's a walk of no return. It's a walk that you just be walking and you'll be lost. People can be lost in this world. It does not matter who you are. People can be lost. It doesn't matter how much you have. You can't be lost when you have not found wisdom in his word, in his ability, in his enabling power. Number three, I said that you must develop spiritual strength and capacity. Number four, we must seek and trust God's counsel. We must seek and trust his counsel. You know, sometimes when people want to build, they will ask questions. And so what do I need to build this house? What do I need to establish this business? What do I need, to set up these operations, even in my existing business? You invite professionals. You invite resource persons. And you sit under their teaching. Sometimes people submit themselves to mentorship because they need these things to survive. If you're going to build anything that will last, then you must seek counsel. Bible says in Proverbs, it says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We find and enjoy safety when we find the right counsel. You want to start a marriage. You want to start raising children. You want to parent children. You want to lead a career. You want to do anything in life. You need counsel. And God's counsel is ultimate. Say, God's counsel is ultimate for my life. Can we say that to ourselves? God's counsel is ultimate for my life. And so we must seek God's counsel. We must seek his counsel at all times. Let's read Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It's something that is popular that we are familiar with. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? He's going to direct your path. We need God's direction in this life. We need his direction. We need his ultimate direction in life. Life is confusing. This world, there is confusion everywhere. But God's word, God's instruction, his counsel can help us to navigate